Welcome, tennis fans, to the 38th episode of Tennis Traverse, Exploring the Game, the podcast that delves into the heart of the tennis world. I'm your host, Ivy J, and in today's episode, I'll be discussing Osaka and Rafa's coming back journey after a long break. Before we begin, please follow all of my social media, that is Instagram and Twitter, using @tennistraverse, that is @tennistraverse. If you're listening on YouTube, comment, like, and subscribe. If you're listening on other streaming platforms, please rate my show. And let's just get right into today's episode. I also do want to mention, again, I have a newsletter on Substack. It's linked in my bio, in my show notes. So if you guys click on my show notes, you'll see a Substack link. And it's basically my newsletter, so put in your email. It's just going to be one email every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and it will just basically preview the episode coming up. And because it's the Roland Garros, I will be posting my draw predictions on there, so if you're interested in that, please subscribe to me over there as well. I have a Linktree linked in my show notes, so if you guys want to follow my, like, click on the Linktree link, it has all of the, like, social media platforms and all of the links to everything I mentioned in it. So if you are having trouble finding, for example, my Instagram, my Twitter, or anything else, just go to that link tree and you'll find everything. Okay, I just do want to give a brief life update because this week has been really, really busy for me. I had a test on Friday and I think it went well. I have one more test next week and I'm done with APs. So that's a really good thing since I can't wait for it to all be over. And I think it's great because, and then I have like a few days of rest to prepare me for Roland Garros. And I think it's perfect timing so that I can just focus on watching the French Open. And speaking of today's topic, the topic of today is Naomi Osaka and Rafa Nadal's return, because Roland Garros is basically the second Grand Slam tournament of the year, and I feel like it's been long enough and both players participated in many tournaments for me to sort of, I guess, predict their performance going into Roland Garros. And I also want to say that I decided to film this episode this time because, like, this time of the year, because there is a huge tournament going on. It's Rome Open, and it's a 1,000 points tournament for both the WTA and the ATP side, which is the women's and the men's side. But I just felt like I wanted to film this episode so that the next episode I can sort of preview the Roland Garros draw, since I will probably have that ready for you guys. If not, it will definitely be ready for the next episode. So please stay tuned for that. And yeah, let's just go with Nadal first, because I want to save Naomi for the last part. So Nadal, I would say that I'm not going to sort of give some of my own opinion, but just keep in mind that everyone have different opinions, and Rafa, being the legend he already is, going into the season with the intention that it possibly is going to be his last ever season, he made that pretty clear that expectations are really high. And I think some people just don't realize that he is not as sort of physically capable, because he's obviously getting older than he was like 10 years ago. So obviously a lot have changed, and I would say that he is trying his best to sort of cope with the situation or like his body. And I think that it's not just Rafa. Some of the older players such as Novak obviously hasn't performed as he would have liked to and as well as last year. I think that's just, well, for me, I think it's just their physical bodies. But yeah, let's just go into Rafa. So Rafa had a lot of injuries prior to this season. That's why he basically didn't play much last season or at all. So his first tournament this season is Brisbane. And this basically leads him to Australia. So he played to the quarterfinal, which to me is a great achievement because, okay, his first matchup was highly anticipated. He played against Dominic Thiem, which is one of like the hottest rivalries like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. They were both on the peak of, well, Dominic was on his peak of his career, and Rafa, you can say that he was like still dominating at French Open or on clay court. So it was really an entertaining matchup. Speaking of team, I do want to mention that he mentioned that he will be retiring after this season, and I feel really sad because it just shows how an injury can completely sort of change a player's performance. And the thing is, the injury, I mean, anywhere an injury can be devastating and crucial, but injury is in his wrist, which is one of the most crucial parts in tennis, because you have to, well, use your wrist to play tennis. So I think, I just feel for team. And okay, let's just talk, move back to Nadal first. So Nadal lost in the quarterfinal in a 3-round match against Jordan Thompson. But the important thing about this matchup was he actually injured his, I believe, hip. But it's not the same part of the hip. It's complicated, but it's basically not the same part. And that caused him to withdraw from Australia, which I get a lot of people were really sad about and some people were frustrated about. But to be honest, we really can't blame Nadal for his body just giving up on him because of his age, and I think he's trying his best. I feel like he definitely wanted to play in Australia, but his body and just playing a match that's like 3-set after not playing and like resting for a year is a lot. And all the tournaments are like really close. So the second round match was played on January 4th, and the third round match, the quarterfinals, played on January 5th. So he really didn't get time to rest, which might be a possible explanation for his injury. And then I want to talk about Indian Wells. So it was a highly anticipated matchup. He was going to play against Milos Raonic in round one of Indian Wells. However, this was when I was kind of frustrated at him, just in my personal opinion, because obviously I don't care now, but he looked so ready, and everywhere on Instagram he was posting him being ready to sort of compete in a new tournament, but he withdrew from like the last, like in the last day. And I remember recording an episode talking about how Rafa is going to perform, but he withdrew. So I was kind of frustrated because, well, I think he should make it clear like earlier that he is not going to play, but I guess we can't really blame him because it's his body after all. And then in Barcelona, he at least played. He also skipped Miami, but that's like, I guess, normal. But in Barcelona, he lost to Alex Seminor in the second round, well, the round of 32. And to be honest, I wasn't really surprised. When I saw this matchup, I knew that Rafa was going to lose. However, in Madrid, which is a tournament right after this, I sort of did not expect the revenge. And I feel like from the last few tournaments that are like from Barcelona to Madrid to Rome, even though he lost today, but like all these tournaments, I feel like he's slowly improving, if that makes sense. Like at the start of the season, obviously it's just hardcore, so he isn't as sort of well equipped than like clay court. However, I feel like you can see his performance just slowly becoming better. Especially, I feel like I can tell from his serve. If you compare his serve from like Barcelona to his serve in Rome, which is a tournament that's happening this week, you can see, for me at least, I can see a significant difference, especially on the second serve. And I also want to say that like everywhere Rafa is, you can just sense his, like, I don't want to say spirit, but you can just sense his legacy, especially on clay courts in Spain. He played in Madrid and everyone, like, they held a celebratory thing for him, and it was just really cool. And I think everyone just respects him so much that it's a really nice thing to see, because in Barcelona he played, like, there's the center court is literally named after him, so that's like kind of interesting, I guess. And in Madrid, he also beat Alex Seminor, which he lost to in Barcelona. So I did not expect him to beat Alex Seminor. I think, like in my mind, I thought it would be the same thing, like he would still lose, but this was surprising to me. And him making it to the round of 16, I did not expect, because I feel like this is just a huge improvement from Brisbane, which is the last time this season he played such sort of a long tournament. Like, he played like more than 3 matches, and this was just, even though he lost in the round of 16, I feel like he didn't, like, okay, he didn't injure himself, he didn't withdrew from Rome, so he was sort of getting his footing back. And then in Rome, the first set was amazing. The first round was amazing. He played against Sisu Works, which is, and I will say, an extremely talented young Belgium player that's like rising up. And Bergs actually won that first set, but Rafa came back. I think that's just part of playing any of the big four on any court. Like, they're just able to completely come back just because of how strong their mindset is. And then we move to one of, I feel like, the toughest opponent. Maybe the toughest opponent. I think it's the toughest opponent yet for Rafa this season, which is Hubert Hurkacz. And the result, I didn't expect Hurkacz to beat Rafa 6-1, 6-3. I thought it was too, like, okay, I watched like a little bit of the second set because the Naomi match was going on at the same time, so I was watching the Naomi Osaka match, but I watched a little bit of it, and I just felt like Rafa wasn't really himself. Maybe it's just Hurkacz. I'm not taking anything away from him. I feel like he's playing extremely well, and to beat Rafa on his surface is such an incredible achievement, and he did it so easily too. But I think just from the stats, Hurkacz serving 9 aces is an incredible stat. I think we can't take anything away from Hurkacz's serve, especially because his serve is just amazing. And the thing I want to point out is he, during his press conference, he said that he was uncertain if he was going to play in French Open. Now, this, in my opinion, is a big thing because everyone... Okay, so Rafa on clay, if you guys have like no experiences in tennis, he is the best ever on any clay court. Like, he literally holds every record. I believe that he won like 13 times in French Open. He's like the number one person on clay. And for him to say that he's maybe not, like, it's not hopeful, where he's unsure about Roland Garros, is kind of scary to me, because if this is his last season, it means that he really didn't get to address the crowd that he loved so much and the court he loved so much. And maybe last time he played, he knew that it could be his last time, but at the same time, I just feel kind of bad for him. But as I said, it's a sport and everything happens, so I really can't be, like, I'm allowed to be sad about it, but at the same time, it's just sports and everything happens for a reason. To be honest, I feel like he's going to try, in my opinion, give it all at Roland Garros. If he like really think this is going to be his last season, he's going to try his best there. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be a championship contender, but I think he's going to try his best. And if he doesn't play there, it's fine, because we still have many tournaments that's still up and coming, even though it might not be as legendary or as meaningful as Roland Garros to Rafa or to like every audience. But like, yeah, I think we should be positive, and I think from all the time we have left, let's just celebrate him instead of just forcing him to play, because I feel like he really needs to listen to his own body. So yeah, okay. Now we're gonna move on to Naomi Osaka. So I would say that Naomi have a very, very different situation from Rafa, because Naomi just gave birth to her baby girl like 6 months before her first ever tournament. No, sorry, not her first ever tournament, but her first tournament coming back from giving birth. And I also want to say that I am biased. I am really biased. So I hope this doesn't come off too, like, one-sided. I'll try to sort of weigh the positives and the negatives, but this might be a little biased. Okay, so I want to start off with just the first tournament, which is also Brisbane. So in Brisbane, I was watching her first match. I saw her playing against Corpswatch, and just that last set, like deciding set, really sort of reminded me of just her mentality, even though obviously she wasn't at her best. But I feel like that's a thing with Naomi and kind of with Rafa, is that you can see them like getting fitter and fitter and being more prepared each match. I think that's just a common theme among these two. But the second set in that first match was extremely close. Naomi won in the tiebreak of 11-9. I was literally like screaming and crying in the second set, but it was super close. And then she lost to Pliskova, which I sort of expected. So she won that first set, so I was like, okay, it was cool. And in Australia, to be honest, I think I sort of, in my opinion, I expected this, because obviously Naomi isn't a seeded player anymore, so she has a great chance of drawing anyone who's a seeded player, and I think it's going to be a challenge for her. And the first player she ever drew in Australia is Caroline Garcia, and Caroline Garcia is an incredible player. So I was like, okay. And she lost in the first round in straight sets, but I think a lot of people were disappointed, including me, but I moved on because, I mean, it's just her first ever match of a major coming back, so it's okay. And then in Abu Dhabi, she lost again in round one, and she got bageled. I have, like, an account of what happened. I think if you guys go to, like, my episodes on whatever platform, just scroll down, you can see one of my episodes is titled like Abu Dhabi. Listen to that. I think it will be about Naomi Osaka and how I was like literally like screaming, crying during Abu Dhabi with Naomi's match. But she also surprised us with a doubles match, which for me was kind of like, whoa, she's playing doubles, because she literally never plays doubles. This is the first time I ever see her on a doubles court, and it still like weirds me out, but they lost. And I feel like this is a difference between Naomi and Rafa. Obviously, the situations are completely different. Naomi still wants to achieve more. Rafa probably do as well, but Naomi's so much more younger, and she has a better body that's more suitable for playing, just because she's younger, in my opinion. And she... like, a common, like, a difference is that Naomi is trying to, like, play in more tournaments than she ever had prior to her pregnancy. And I think that's a good thing, because now I feel like she just needs a lot of experience, because she lost a lot of experience just, like, from 1 year of not playing. The players change. Like, a lot of players that she's never played against will come up, and I think that's something that's a huge, I don't want to say a problem, but something she needs to get used to. And then in Qatar, she actually did really well. She revenged in the first round against Garcia, and she beat two sort of incredible players, Caroline Garcia. She beat Caroline Garcia and Petra Martic, which is another incredible player. She got a walkover in the third round, and in the quarterfinal, she lost again to Pliskova, but it was closer this time compared to the last time, and I think this was an incredible performance from her. And then she played in both of the Sunshine doubles, which I was like, whoa, like, that's crazy, because she often like just doesn't play in a lot of tournaments. So this was crazy and a blessing, I guess, for me, because I get to see her play in a lot more tournaments than she sort of ever had before. But she played in Indian Wells, and she made it to the round of 13. The round three. But I would say that the one highlight from this tournament was against Samsonova in the second round, because Samsonova is actually seeded number 14. So for her to beat a player that's seeded number 14 sort of give everyone, especially me, like a reassurance that she's still at a top level, that her ranking really doesn't speak anything at all about her level. And then in Miami, okay, in my opinion, this is her best ever tournament this like since her comeback on hard court. So this is also her last ever tournament, but this is her like the first part of the hard courts swing, like, okay, so it's Australia Open, that's hard court, and we go to clay, and then we go to grass, and then we go back to hard court. So for the first part of the hard court swing, I feel like this is her best tournament yet, because she beat Elena Svitolina, which is another player that they both have something in common, which is that Elena also gave birth. So it's both really common. However, Elena took a different approach. She approached her comeback with playing more, like, lower level matches, but Naomi just went straight in and played, she used her protective rankings and just played challenging matches, like 500s, 1000s, 250s. Like, she played a lot of that tournaments. So yeah, and at first I was doubtful, but now I feel like she's right in her decision and she really should challenge herself with a lot of higher ranked opponents. I think she'll do really well. And then she played against Garcia, which is the third time they played each other, and she lost. But regardless, I felt like it was really close, and I think everyone was happy with how she performed. And then we go to clay swing. And for the clay swing, to be honest, I just wasn't expecting much at all, because while she just doesn't perform well on clay, she has four major titles, two in US Open, two in Australia. She has none. Okay, she never moved past a third round in Roland Garros or Wimbledon. So I was like, okay. And I was really happy that she actually chose to participate in Open de Roon, which is a 250 tournament. And this is the first 250 tournament she ever played in since her pregnancy. And I felt like in my mind back then, I was like, okay, this is a great opportunity for her to find back her form and sort of like get more wins so that she can get back and gain more confidence. However, I was mistaken, as she lost in straight sets in round one against Martina Trevisan. I did not watch the highlights. I do not plan to watch you. I feel like it's going to be depressing. But I guess I was like, oh well, it's clay. But I just really expected her to go further. And then I was like kind of scared, because I felt like it was just going to completely destroy her confidence on clay. However, she came back right away, and in Madrid, even though she lost in a round of 64 against Samsonova, she managed, like, even though it was a loss, but she like sort of made a comeback, a tiny comeback in the second round, where, okay, she lost the first set 2-6, so she won that second set 6-4, and then she lost the third set 5-7. But at the same time, it was like a really, really close comeback, and I was like happy about it. She also like posted on her Threads account that something great is happening. I can feel it, and I kind of feel that way too now, because she's now playing in Rome and she's making it to the round of 16, which is the fourth round. That has literally never happened before on clay too, guys. Okay, so the thing I want to point out about this clay run is she is beating some top-ranked opponents. And it's not that they like just don't perform well on clay. They perform well on clay too, and Naomi is still beating them in two straight sets. So let's start with the first opponent she beat, which is a higher-ranked player, which is in the round of 64 against Marta Kocyuk. So I don't think I need to mention how good of a season this has been for Marta. She's playing super, super well. She made it to the quarterfinal in Australia, and she's just performing really well. She made it to the final of San Diego. She made it to the semifinals of Indian Wells. She made it to the finals of Stuttgart. And yeah, so it's like this season is just amazing for her. And still, Naomi beat her with a score of 6-3, 6-2. So I was like, whoa, like, wow, what's happening? And I watched that highlight. I was like, OMG, Naomi's performing so well. And then she played against Sarah Kasatkina, which again is a rivalry from back a long time ago, but this sort of like brings back memories in a way. And I would say that Daria also had an incredible season. So even though I feel like she didn't have consistent deep runs like Marta, but she made it to the final in Abu Dhabi, and that's like a pretty, I would say, an incredible achievement, even though she didn't make it that far. Okay, she made it to the final in Charleston, where she lost to Danielle Collins, but still, like, she's an incredible player, and for Naomi to beat her on clay court is just amazing, and I'm so happy that Naomi is performing well again. Her next opponent will be Zheng Qinwen, and they will play on Monday, I believe. So this will be an interesting matchup just because of the whole coach situation. I don't want to talk much about it because it's a long thing, but yeah. Okay, Roland Garros predictions. I would be optimistic and say that if Naomi performs really well in the Rome Open, so if she, that's like that to me is if she goes move past the semifinals where she reached the semifinals, I think she will perform well. You know, too extreme. She's going to perform really, really well in Rome, where she's in Roland Garros, where she's just going to completely like. It's just going to be a round one loss or like a round two loss, because I feel like it's just going to go either way, and I would prefer if she gets a deeper run, obviously, but I just feel like something good is happening, and I can't wait for US Open because I'm going to be there, I'm going to see her, and I just can't wait to meet her again. Okay, that's all. This is sort of short, but I will have the link to some of my favorite Rafa and Naomi matches after their comeback, like during their comeback, linked in my show notes if you guys want to go check it out. And that's it, y'all. Thank you so, so much for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe to or follow all of my social medias, Instagram and Twitter, using @tennistraverse. That is @tennistraverse. I also do want to say that I'm not active on Twitter just because I already said to you guys before that I'm just so busy with school, but I'm going to be active really, really soon. I will definitely, definitely be active during Roland Garros just because, you know, it's such a huge tournament. And if you're listening on YouTube, comment, like, and subscribe. Also, feel free to just, like, shoot me a DM or, like, comment on YouTube, whatever, however you can reach me, use my link tree, and just give me some, like, suggestions of episodes you guys want to see, or if you guys want to just give me some, like, suggestions on how to improve my podcast, that works too. And yeah, please rate my show if you're listening on streaming platforms such as Spotify, and it will really, really help me. And yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.